the way it's written in the lyrics. He sings it, "Lord, rein me in." So, which I think is okay. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for showing us the path of love most clearly in Jesus. We pray that you give us the strength to live it out on the days when it takes strength, that you give us the discernment to figure out when hatred has to be met with love, that you give us the courage, that you give us whatever else we need to choose this path of love that you continue to put before us within the body of Christ and as we go out and live our lives day to day and all the people that we meet, all the things we encounter. Give us your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord now from 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 13, 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Well, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you." Nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then deeds of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. And I will show you still a more excellent way. If I speak in the languages of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly. But then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love remain. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Are you familiar with Chinese watercolor paintings? There are these fascinating peaks into subjects surrounded by negative space. And you kind of piece together what the negative space is by looking at the few things that are actually there. So much so that you might even go so far as to say that what is there is just as defined by what's not there. There are these empty spaces that show maybe just one thing. Oftentimes two things at the most, but one thing is typically highlighted, and if there are two subjects, two things are highlighted, but it's surrounded by what is not. How do you explain to a child what green is? Well, one way to explain it to them is to say, this is green, it's not red, it's not blue, it's not yellow, it's green. What is there is often highlighted by what is not there. Hold that thought as you consider this. Love is patient. Love is kind. So notice that in the middle of a conversation with this isolated early church, a conversation about how they all together form the strengths of the body, this famous love poem of 1 Corinthians 13 spends more time saying what love is not than what it is. If love is a boat in the middle of a Chinese watercolor painting, then everything else around it is not the boat. Negative space to highlight what is. Love is a positive boat floating around in empty spaces. If love is patient, then it is surrounded by that which is self-seeking. If love is kind, then it is surrounded by that which is rude. As Christians, our kindness and patience floats around in a sea of resentment. And you know what the temptation is, right? If our love and patience floats around in a sea of resentment, it is very tempting at times to reach our hand outside the boat and sort of swish it around in all that resentment, which is the way that 1 Corinthians 13 brings us back to say, no, love is not resentment, it's patience. It's not resentment. It's kind. Resentment puts itself first. Love bobs around in a storm of passive-aggressive name-calling. You notice that? You notice that lately? Love is like a boat. It bobs around in a sea of passive-aggressive name-calling. We learn as though shaped in the love of Christ to say that love is patient. But we also know what love is not. It's not boastful or arrogant or easily angered. I was reminded recently of Galatians 6:9. This is how Galatians 6:9 goes. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Why would that have to be in Scripture? Why would Scripture have to say, let us not grow weary in doing good? You ever felt that one before? You ever feel tired of doing good? Isn't that a strange thing to say? Don't get tired of doing good. It's hard. It's hard to try to keep focusing on what is good when what is good is met with bad. When doing the right thing, like standing up against systemic racism, results in the death of a young woman in Charlottesville, Virginia. You can always tell that culture is going down the drain when people begin to disregard other people's humanity. The minute we dismiss another person because they don't look like me, or grew up like me, or have the same political biases as me, that is when we as Christians have the opportunity to rise up and appeal to the better angels of our nature. Because if we, the people of the living Jesus, can be sure of anything, it is that one, on the negative side, nothing in this world will last forever. But that too, we can be sure that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, which means that God is shaping a new creation that transcends all the things that we allow to divide us, as we see in this mirror dimly, through this glass, darkly. So y'all have heard that tomorrow is supposed to be this big event where everybody in the country is going to put on glasses and look through something darkly. So I was in Tennessee on Sunday morning last week thinking about y'all. I did what I typically do when I'm not at church on Sunday morning, especially if I'm in a car, having to drive hours and hours and hours. And I put on the entirety of Jesus Christ Superstar. Listen to it from start to finish. That's my Sunday morning. Never mind, you didn't want to know that. But on my way out of the hotel, the lady behind the desk was on the phone, and she was apologizing to someone that next week we would not be able to accommodate you. We're all sold out because of the eclipse. What if it's cloudy that day? But then if you don't put on your glasses darkly and look through them just to see barely, you hurt yourself. And I think sometimes, in thinking through all this stuff that we're supposed to put into practice around love, we like to think that we can look straight into the sun and understand everything about it. Well, we know everything there is to know. We're We're still looking through glasses darkly. We don't know everything. We want to think that we do. There's still so much that we don't know. We can't know it. We're looking through these glasses darkly, in part. One of these days we'll know, even as we have been fully known. And on that day when we see face to face, my own personal hope is that my hard old heart will soften into an eternity far greater than my little brain has the ability to imagine. When we hear these words that we heard earlier from 1 Corinthians 12 through 13 about all the different parts of the body forming together, something that we could not be on our own, and then when we soak in these transforming words about what love is, that highlights what love is not. And then the way that what love is not highlights what is. We experience together what Scripture calls the full weight of glory. It doesn't mean we know everything. It means that we experience the full weight of God's glory. We look forward to a world when God finally finishes this great project of creation. A creation filled with people who together live for the common good. Now, here's the bad news of saying something like that. You're going to go into your life this week. All of us are going to live in such a way where we will be able to look around our lives and see people not living for the common good. I hate to break that to you. That's what's going to happen. Which again is why God, in all of God's wisdom, started putting together pockets of the full weight of glory. Communities of faith, just like this one, where we live together for the common good. People who consider others before themselves, people who live love and patience and kindness. It's the very core of our being. We followers of Jesus who believe and hope with all our hearts in God's promise to one day make all things new. But even now, we can already begin to see great possibilities. Even now, we can see when the dust of our own penchant for violence begins to settle, once we clear away the rubble of our own impatience and kindness, that some things are still left, some things remain. And while the world tends to focus on what is not there, on empty spaces, and on all these voids, we as those being shaped in the image and likeness of Jesus have learned, are still learning, and will continue to learn that the most godly life is the source of all life that did not begin with, "I am not," but began with, "I am." And when forced to say out loud, we choose to speak better words. Words that say out loud what is permanent. Words like faith and hope and love. These three remain. But because faith and hope are based in things we cannot see, in things yet to come, the greatest of these is the one we actually get to put into practice every day with all our strength and all our heart and all our soul. And even though some days it takes all our strength, we must never give up on the truth that covers all other truths, that the greatest of these is love. Amen.